Okay, I just want to get started. I turned this presentation in when Zach asked me to a while back. So yesterday I kind of realized that some of the things I'd written on my slides maybe would ruffle some feathers or weren't quite in the lexicon of discussion. So maybe some of the things on my slides I actually don't want you to read. But I was asked to answer three questions. And then this morning I was asked to drop that just back to one, which is okay, but I'll just take a stab at the last two before I get started. How were the criteria developed? In all of our tools, the criteria are developed based on the needs and desires and capacities of our stakeholders. So everything is tailored to them. They have ownerships of the tools that we build at the end of the projects. They're theirs, not ours. What tools were employed? Everything that I'm going to talk about, all the examples that I have for you today are GIS-based desktop-type interfaces and tools. So what I'd like to do, just to tackle the first question, what criteria did I use, I'd like to show you four examples and talk about the criteria for those four examples. And I think they all map back to or can be lumped into a lot of things that have been identified already on the wall, but there's a few maybe that might bring out some regional flavor that happens because of some of these tools. And then I'd like to focus in a little more detail on one tool in particular, the Lake St. Clair Integrated Coastal Management Tool, and show you some of the functionality of that tool. And I have an example problem. And I'm not a planner, I'm not a regulator. I made up the example problem based on stakeholder comments that I've received. So it may not fit reality, but it's an example of what you could do with the tool in whatever reality you want to apply it to. Okay. Thanks. Happy trigger figure. So about 2 months ago, my program manager came to me and said, would you like to go to D.C. And talk about SWAMP? And I said, no. Really, no, please don't make me go. SWAMP was, for the LCR program, a pilot project that we built based on NC Cruise. And the methodology in NC Cruise, the criteria, we moved it up a little bit in new ArcGIS technology, but that's about all we did. We didn't take it out. We didn't field test it in South Carolina. And so if you want to use it, we strongly recommend you use the one that's been field tested and validated extensively, which is NC Cruise. But some of the criteria that are in SWAMP, some of the things that have already been named, proximity to sources, proximity to water bodies, soil types, wetland types, buffer widths. And SWAMP and NC Cruise focus on water quality, hydrology, and habitat of wetlands. The group that I'm in at the Coastal Services Center, our goal for landscape characterization and restoration is to help coastal resource managers examine the effects of their management decisions on coastal habitats. So we really try to build capacity and fill the needs of our stakeholders. Another example is what we call the Rhode Island Suite. It's two tools that focus on habitat restoration of particular habitats, eelgrass restoration and salt marsh restoration. Our definition, our goal of our group allows us to be very broad and very flexible. We don't have to focus on wetlands. We can focus on habitats, one particular habitat, anything. It's all pretty much open. Some of the critical criteria in these tools that were important to Rhode Island stakeholders for helping them site eelgrass restoration opportunities were the ability to avoid fishing areas and to target shellfish closure areas. Under the salt marsh tool, they wanted to be able to prioritize their areas based on socioeconomic considerations, feasibility, and ecological function. And when they talked about feasibility, The things that were of importance to them were road access, land ownership, major utility right-of-way, known hazardous waste sites, presence of invasives, and the ability to have a construction staging area nearby. One of the big things that was a benefit to the Rhode Island folks was not so much the final delivery of these tools, but the development of the data sets that needed to happen prior to building the tool. And so the tool at the end may not have been the most useful thing for them, but the process of identifying what their specific regional criteria were and what data they needed to be able to answer these questions were the big key factors for them, and probably what helps these activities for them at the end of the day. Eric mentioned SCREAM yesterday, so I have one slide on SCREAM. Between the two of us, we could probably spend 2 weeks talking about SCREAM. It's a tool that we're designing to examine the functional contributions of habitat hydrology and biogeochemistry. It's an ArcGIS tool. All of the criteria, you know, were developed based on interactions with SCORP and the Science Advisory Panel, what they want to evaluate in Southern California for riparian habitats. There are over 30 metrics inside of SCREAM, and the number of individual scores clears the 50 mark. Some examples of what we're calculating inside of SCREAM. For habitat, just real quick, lateral and linear contiguity of habitat, surrounding land use, and connection to wetlands. Under hydrology, there's channel bed material, bank material, entrenchment, sinuosity, runoff and infiltration potential based on soil type and land use, as well as unique catchment land use contributions to a particular area of a stream or a river. And then biogeochemistry, persistent non-point solution sources based on land use. The Lake St. Clair Integrated Coastal Management Tool. This tool is the one I'll spend the rest of the talk on. This tool is currently in development. We're working with Lake St. Clair stakeholders on a project to develop a draft coastal habitat restoration and conservation plan. We were asked to build a decision support tool that would help them examine their management, the impacts of their management decisions, as well as identify restoration and conservation priorities inside of the larger project. We have a long list of project stakeholders that hail from Canada, U.S. federal government, Michigan, and Ottawa. So basically, with this larger groups of stakeholders, we're basically asked to build a tool that's all things to everybody in all possible situations. Lake St. Clair is in the Great Lakes. It's not a great lake. It's a good lake. But it's not considered one of the big five. Hydrologically, it's a connecting water body between Lake Huron and Lake Erie via the St. Clair River and then also the Detroit River. Detroit. Okay. Oops. It'll come back. My thumb's too big. Okay. Lake St. Clair. I'm not going to use the laser anymore. Detroit is here. Windsor's over here. The land use on both sides of the lake goes from 100 years of high-end industrial, commercial, whatnot, to corporate agriculture. We're in the southern stretches of Canada, so they make the best use of the warm weather for agriculture. The lake, on the U.S. side, there's Detroit, the suburban sprawl that's moving out away from Detroit, and the agriculture that goes on. The watershed for Lake St. Clair is outlined in green, so it has a large opportunity to pick up a lot of the industrial and agricultural land use impacts in the watershed before we're getting to the lake. So we were asked to look at a way to develop a decision support tool to examine habitat decisions around the lake. The habitat there is highly fragmented, and there isn't a really good inventory. We spent a lot of time listening to our stakeholders and trying to gather information about what their issues were and what were their concerns. Okay. A lot of their concerns were, I don't know what I have. I don't know if I make a decision, if it eliminates the last of something, or does my neighbor have a lot of it and that maybe I can let it go, or is it so rare globally that this is the end of it? We have water quality problems, but we were asked to deal with habitat, so we slipped in impervious surfaces to kind of help folks deal with that hurdle. We came back with, after listening to a lot of their concerns, we came back with a few metrics to get the conversation started, because it's hard to build a decision support tool from a blank page if you don't know what the possibilities are. So we came back with metrics dealing solely with habitat, connectivity, and quality issues. So we came back with nearest neighbor, proximity, size, core area, impervious surface, and a way to inventory what was already there. And then we had some things that would allow folks to go in and query the output data quickly at a variety of scales, depending on what they were interested in. In a highly fragmented landscape, it's really easy to do an analysis and come back with a list of 6,000 patches. 6,000 patches doesn't help you answer any questions. Doing a query for things that you're really interested in based upon your goals, time, money, other constraints, might get you down to a list of 20. You can field check 20. The other thing that we put in was something that we're calling in Lake St. Clair scenario testing. The ability to understand what is currently on the ground through the calculations of the metrics, the ability to go in, make a change for whatever, good to bad, bad to good, and maybe you don't want to call it good to bad. Make the change and evaluate the change through the metrics. So you get current state, make a change, get a new state, see where you ended up. So we took this initial concept to the stakeholders, and they said, this is great, but, and this is where the regional flavor came in for the tool. You missed, and we have data for element occurrences, which is in Lake St. Clair speak, there are high quality habitats, rare, maybe threatened and endangered species, and they're all anonymous. We get the information from the Michigan Natural Features Inventory, so they're just polygons. We don't know what they are or where anything is in them. We just know that it's important and it needs to stick around. Distance to stream corridors, shoreline hardening, stream hardening, presence of invasive species, and there's a big political will in the Great Lakes to do everything aquatic as well as terrestrial, even though we may never have the data for it, it's in the tool as a way of identifying and reinforcing the data gaps, and filling those data gaps are important. We also added information about socioeconomic growth on a 2030 growth forecast. What areas do we project to be developed in the next 30 years? We have an 1800s land cover, the General Land Office surveys. Historic water levels, Great Lakes don't really have tides, but they have seasonal fluctuations. So you can have a high flood based on snowpack in the spring. So we wanted to map out where those areas were. We have a data set for that. Soils and land ownership. If you're looking for your gems, are they already state-owned? And then we kept the scenario testing, and we have a variety of output formats. You can look at maps, you can look at tables, you can look at reports. So in our reality check, with our stakeholders. If we think with scenario testing, we're building a tool to help them examine their decisions. And we think through the use of a couple metrics for connectivity, we can understand fragmentation or restoration potential by connecting up patches. And we have 6 metrics to help us identify quality. And in terms of what the Great Lakes stakeholders were interested in defining in terms of quality in the greater Detroit-Windsor metropolitan area. So here's my example problem that I hope you don't run me out on a rail for. But what I did was take some, I picked a watershed in Lake St. Clair, and I came up with some goals. There isn't a plan for this watershed, but everybody has goals, and they talk about things that they'd like to do there. One of the things they'd like to do is stop the loss of habitat, decrease the number of habitat pastures by linking them up with others, and conduct their restoration areas or restoration activities in areas that would benefit the element occurrences that they have, and to create habitat buffers on their streams. So I have a situation where I'm going to evaluate a request to develop an area and ask that there be some restoration activity somewhere in the watershed, and I'm going to use the tool to do that. So here's my unnamed watershed, and I'm going to leave it unnamed because all of this data is real. But this is the outline of the watershed. There is a stream running through it, and Lake St. Clair is over here. I picked what I wanted to call habitat using the tool, and everything that's in here is either a forest land cover class or a wetland land cover class. So they're all individual patches, and I'm coloring them by their quality scores, so that our highest quality patch has a score of 16. Everything's linearly summed. We have some second place patches up here, and in the lower reaches of the watershed, we have sort of our third place smaller high quality patches. The area that we'd like to develop is up in here. I can break out information and plot different scores. So I have just the element occurrence scores here, which is a component of the quality score. And what we're doing is we're just counting the number of polygons that a particular patch intersects, which is pretty easy to do. All of our element occurrences are down in the lower reaches of the watershed. We don't have any at all colored in red up here, so that's not a problem for our development activities. And then we only, this large high quality patch here only intersected one polygon. Economic growth, the areas in the next 30 years that are facing development pressure are colored, the high areas are colored in red. They are intersecting multiple economic growth areas. The area that we're interested in changing has been, I almost want to say approved for development, because part of the 2030 growth plan eliminates undevelopable land. Something that raised a flag when I was looking at this is that there's one little area down here in red. This was sort of a medium quality patch, but it also had 3 intersections with element occurrences. So this is an area inside this watershed that is facing development pressure, but also contains a lot of the element occurrences that we're interested in protecting. So I go ahead and I make my change. So I'm changing this from deciduous forest, essentially, to low-intensity development. And then I've come in along the river because one of my goals is to try to create buffers along streams. So I've come in and said we're going to plant some trees down here along this stream, try to make some connections to these element occurrence areas in the lower reaches of the watershed. And at the same time, I want to achieve a no net loss of habitat, which in the acreage comparisons and the output from the tool, I can compare how many acres I started with, how many acres I ended up with. are and what the average size of the patches in this area are. So this, again, it's a highly fragmented landscape. So the average patch size is only on the order of a couple acres. And I was able to decrease the overall number of patches because we were able to link up quite a few of them. And I've listed here some functionality of the tool because we're trying to be all things to everybody, and we're not asking folks to upfront identify their goal. We have a lot of opportunity inside the tool to be flexible. I've put out some one-pagers if you'd like more information on the tool along the back wall. I've gotten my one-minute flag, so I'll be really, really quick and just say that the only thing you're required to have to run this tool is a raster land cover. You've got to be able to pick your location, and you can use any polygon. You can draw your own if you'd like. You can use watershed or county or township boundaries, whatever's important to you or whatever you have jurisdiction in. You can do a flexible classification scheme. You decide what is habitat and what isn't and how those habitat groups are going to relate to each other. You determine the scores and the values. If you're interested only in acreages in the 1,000-acre or up mark, you can set your scores to do that. If you're more interested in the 2.5-acre or less parcels, you can do that too. There are optional features and multiple outputs. All right. Thank you kindly for your time.